Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
Takeout on Thanksgiving Day? Well, sure, why not? We've got the takeout stories that still need to be covered. We want you to stay on top of what's going on in the White House. And so we have Julie Mason, White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Julie, good morning.
John, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. And you are cooking today, right?
I am indeed.
And Louise Story, of course, finance reporter for the New York Times. Louise, takeout actually would work for you on Thanksgiving Day, right?
I am not the cook. I'm not cooking.
I see. Of course, the news you can use part of takeouts this morning comes from Kim Severson, New York Times dining writer. Now, you're going to help us with all these turkey tips throughout the show this morning, right, Kim?
Absolutely. I've got the oven on. We're ready to go.
All right, great. Let's begin with Julie Mason. Julie, tell us a little bit about these party crashers who came to the state dinner there at the White House with the Indian Prime Minister. They blogged about it online, and now their faces are inescapable. What's going on there?
This woman, a reality TV star, she's a wannabe desperate housewife of Washington, D.C., and her husband crashed the state dinner. And, John, it is not easy to crash at the White House because you have to get through the Secret Service. They swept in. They got into the party. They were not seated for the dinner. I think they just mingled around, and I'm not sure if they were escorted out or asked to leave, but next thing you know, their pictures are on Facebook.
Makes you kind of wonder if the Pentagon is worried that Al-Qaeda is going to get into reality TV.
Exactly. Well, they did have to go through the magnetometer, so they were not armed. We do know that. But they were, you know, really dressed up, dressed to the nines, ready to party.
What is the First Family doing today?
Well, the president and the first lady at the White House, which is a little unusual. Usually the president and first lady go out of town for Thanksgiving. They're having family. The president's half-sister and her family are in town. They have some friends. They're going to have traditional Thanksgiving at the White House. And let me tell you, this has the press on high alert because he's here, he's in town, and we're worried, is he going to make a little surprise trip to Kabul?
To Kabul, really?
Well, ahead of that speech on Tuesday, it'd be a nice touch.
Indeed, but those are the kinds of things you worry about at the White House, even on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, you can't take a break at all. And like I said, usually the president and the first lady, they go to Camp David or they go on a town to give the staff and the Secret Service the holiday off. This is also the weekend when volunteers descend on the White House to decorate for Christmas. So there's actually a lot going on around the White House this weekend.
All right, but you're cooking today, Julie. You have a question for Kim Severson a little bit later?
Yes, I do. I'm going to stay on the line.
Great, stay on the line. We go now to Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for the New York Times. The president has announced he's going to attend the UN-sponsored climate talks in Copenhagen next month.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean that climate talks and climate change is, achieving a higher profile in the administration? And what's the pushback?
So this is the first time that we've had a U.S. leader agree to targets or say that they will set targets on carbon emissions. So this is pretty watershed. But remember, he's going to go to Copenhagen for this meeting on his way to accept the Nobel Peace Prize. So there is a pressure here for him to look like he is really leading. He basically said that he wanted the U.S. to reduce carbon emissions by targets that are just like what was passed in the House this summer, but that emissions bill has been stalled in the Senate, so he doesn't have all of Congress behind him on this.
And corporate America is divided on the climate change strategy.
This is really a hot issue in corporate America, and I don't know if you followed what's happened with the Chamber of Commerce, but in the past few months, the Chamber of Commerce has very aggressively been fighting any kind of carbon emission and some of the provisions of the House bill, and they've had a number of high-profile members resign. So Apple resigned, Nike resigned. Nike put out a very damning statement basically saying, you know, this is the future, and the Chamber of Commerce and the rest of America's businesses need to get with it because it's the future and we're going to have to make sacrifices to get there. So you're seeing forward-looking companies, GE, Ford, and Pepsi have also moved this forward, even though we have some other manufacturers who are really still fighting it.
Well, vigorous debate in corporate America and on Capitol Hill on climate change. Louise Story, you have never cooked a turkey in your life, right?
I've never cooked a turkey.
And Kim Severson, should Louise be disqualified from ever trying to cook a turkey if she never has?
You know, turkey, it's so easy to do, Louise. Trust me. You can do it. It's just big and takes a long time.
You don't have to do it this year, Louise, but thanks for being with us. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Kim Severson, New York Times dining writer, is going to be helping us kind of we're recreating the Butterball hotline here on the Takeaway. Kim, and you know what the Butterball hotline is, right?
Oh, I do. I talked to those folks this year. 55 of them who line up between now and Christmas. And this year they're tweeting, though, not necessarily calling. You can get a Butterball lady to tweet you.
Well, we talked to a Butterball lady, Carol Miller from the Butterball Hotline, who gives us a sense of the kind of calls that she gets.
Last Thanksgiving, I got a call from a young man at 6 a.m. in the morning, and he was supposed to deliver his turkey to his mom at 8 a.m. for her to start cooking it. He wanted the magic formula from the turkey experts on how to thaw his 20-pound turkey in 2 hours. There is no such formula. What was great is he lived in a real metropolitan area, and then on his way to Mom's, there was, you know, 3 or 4 grocery stores. The odds are he could probably find a fresh turkey, take it to his mom, and maybe she wouldn't even know the difference.
Butterball advising a certain amount of dishonesty there. Is there any defrost strategy that you would recommend, Kim Severson?
You know, if you haven't defrosted your turkey by now, I actually have to agree with the ladies that you ought to just run down to the store and buy a new one. I had a friend of mine who suggested she thought she might be able to put it in the bathwater with her toddler last night, but I didn't think that was such a great idea.
Oh, my gosh. Don't mix them up. You know, that would be really disastrous. So, Julie Mason, what's your question for Kim Severson quickly?
Kim, based or not based?
You know, give it a baste to the first 30 minutes or so just to get that skin crisp. But for the rest of the time, it's not going to do a whole lot of good, and you're going to lose a lot of heat as you open and close that oven. So baste it in the first half hour so you feel like you're doing something. You have that image of Thanksgiving. The skin will get crispy. And then just let the thing bake.
All right. Kim Severson will have advice for us all morning long here on The Takeaway. Kim, we'll see you in the studios soon enough. Take care.
I'm on my way.
And Julie Mason, have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks. You too, John.
There are your takeouts. No takeouts on Thanksgiving. We'll be right back.